We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
All right, Rayman. Well, last week on Thursday, the governor and Education Commissioner Miguel Cardona rolled out their back-to-school plan for the upcoming school year. Many, including 5th District Congressperson Johanna Hayes, had questions. Today, we'll find out more specifics on what's going to take place. And to talk about it all, our friend Patrice McCarthy, Deputy Director, General Counsel of the Connecticut Association of Boards of Education. Patrice, good morning. How are you?
Hey, how are you?
Good morning.
Patrice, what was CABE's initial reaction when the rollout came on Thursday?
School board members were pleased to know that there is some guidance and some structure that will be coming from the state to help them move forward with the process of making sure that we can provide our students, all of our students, an appropriate education when schools open in some form in August and September.
But from what we understand, what the governor said is that they're going to take different forms. We're not going to bring everybody back to school. I understand it's kind of a hybrid. Is that what you're hearing?
Well, what the governor said was school districts should plan to accommodate all students 5 days a week, but recognizing that at least initially some families may be unwilling to send their students back to the classroom, so we'll need to make accommodations for those students.
What were the concerns, if any, Patrice, out of what you heard from the governor and Commissioner Cardona?
I think the biggest concern is around resources. We know that to bring students and staff back in a safe, healthy environment, there will be the need for additional cleaning, safety protocols. Those mitigation protocols are critical to making sure that this is a safe environment. We also know that we need additional supports to meet the social and emotional needs of our students and of our staff. Everyone has been through a lot of trauma, a lot of disruption in their lives. So in order to be able to get back to focus on learning, we have to make sure that we address those needs.
If, in fact, Patrice, and you think about this, one of the things that I know has been mentioned in this and probably will be maintained is the idea of social distancing. Therefore, fewer kids per class because they have to spread out. And, you know, we talked to the head of the AFT and or the CFT, and they've been saying, you know, we're probably going to have to hire more teachers. Are you guys up for that?
If the resources are there, absolutely. Smaller class sizes are generally beneficial to our students, especially when they've had some gaps in their learning. What the message from the governor last week was that the wearing of masks was an absolute non-negotiable point, and that social distancing did not necessarily mean the 6 feet of distancing. We also know that the state is working with some of our most densely populated districts to help them look at possible reconfiguration of some of the larger spaces in the building that are currently not used as classrooms.
What about the what about the idea that the buses are going to be full? I know we talked to you last time. You thought that there was going to be a minimum of students on the buses, and now the governor and the commissioner are saying, let's pack them full.
Well, the message clearly is the medical guidance is key. And they are relying on the most current medical advice that says it is safe to put a full bus of students. Clearly, this is an evolving situation. And I think one of the biggest challenges for school board members, superintendents, parents, and educators is that we have to be uncomfortable with the fact that the guidance does change. We learn things that give us better information about what the most appropriate health protocols are.
Yeah, you know, a question I would have, you know, you're trying to talk to people that were, you know, the stakeholders, I hate that word, but who the stakeholders were, you know, all got together and helped formulate this plan. You were included, I would assume.
Boards were very much a part of those conversations, and we continue to have regular conversations with the Commissioner of Education and his staff.
Talking to Patrice McCarthy from the Connecticut Association of Boards of Education. The governor and Commissioner Cardona supposedly we will get more specifics today on the plan. Patrice, what is your organization looking for today? What do you want to hear?
Well, what we want to see is what the additional parameters are that are being provided, because we know that this is all based on health and safety. So that's key to school board members. We need to see what this looks like. We also, once local districts have formulated their plans, we need to make sure that there are going to be the resources available, because unfortunately, many school board budgets were either flat funded this year or even reduced from prior years. And that's going to be a real challenge.
Another question. It's just a practical thing that comes up every year. But, you know, eventually, I suppose, there'll be test scores that'll have to be obtained. And I wonder how that's going to go with kids taking basically a half a year off.
Well, certainly there was learning that did take place for many students. Unfortunately,
sure,
we know in our larger districts, as many as 25% of the students were not connected to their learning, despite the best efforts to reach out to them.
Sure.
I think there's an overwhelming sentiment that standardized testing needs to be held in abeyance, that we focus on social-emotional needs, and also assessing where each student is and where they're.
Patrice, will there be different districts with different regulations? I mean, I know the governor and Commissioner Cardona are setting down the basics, but, like, the needs of Greenwich are different than the needs of the Haddam-Killingworth-Haddam Regional District, and the old Saybrook needs are different than Bridgeport. How will that be handled?
I think it'll be handled very much as it has been in the past. There certainly are differences among the needs of our students and differences among the types of facilities available in our various communities. There's also differences in terms of the community supports that can be used to connect with students and their families. So we will see those variations and make those local connections, and communicating with the parents and the community is also going to be key to a successful return to school.
Concerns in the back of the boards of education. Let's say everybody gets back. Somebody gets sick. Is there a legal aspect that you have to take a look at?
There's always a legal concern. As I've often said to school board members, if you take an action, you can be sued, and if you don't take an action, you can be sued. The question is, would the school district ultimately be liable? If districts are following the best advice from our state officials, then the liability issue is not the primary issue. The primary issue is, what about the well-being of students and staff when they come back to the school building?
Have your teachers, any of your teachers, expressed concern about going back at all just because they're in the at-risk group?
We know there are teachers who have expressed concerns, and we know that there are families that have expressed concerns. We also know that some teachers that intended to retire at the end of June said, I'm delaying my retirement because I want to be back in a classroom.
Oh, good.
I don't want to end my career this way.
You know, and just back to final question here, and Joe and I have to move on, and so do you. You have a life to live. But, I mean, the thing is, you know, let's say you had to hire more teachers. Can you find sufficiently certified people to fill those positions?
That's an issue, and there are discussions with the State Department of Education about perhaps accelerating the certification of those individuals that are in their final year of teacher preparation programs. So that they might have a temporary certification if we need to fill some of those gaps.
All right. It will be interesting to hear what comes out today as far as specifics and the reaction to it. Patrice, thanks for the time as always. Stay
Thank
safe, and I'm sure we will visit with you several times
I'm sure.
before school begins. Thanks,
always
Patrice.
Always good to talk to you.
Yeah, all
Thank
right.
you. All right. 729. So, I mean, we got to get to weather here, but it kind of sounded like they were okay with what the governor did.
Yeah, I think the hard thing, Joe, is just it's going to change. You know, as more and more is learned, more and more is forgotten, more and more is discarded. The rules are going to change, I think, from now until the beginning of school. So you got to keep flexible for that.
Right. That's a very good. That's a great point.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof?
Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.